Welcome to Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
This is a couple's journey into the mysterious,
the unknown, and the paranormal.
I'm your host, Chris Carr.
And I'm your host, Kristen Johnson.
Together, we are Bigfoot and the Bunny.
All right. Looks like we're on. We are Bigfoot and the Bunny. I'm Chris Carr.
And I'm Kristen Johnson.
Yeah, we've got a good show for you. We're going to take a little break from our undisclosed location because it's eaten up pretty much all our shows.
And not only that, we have problems.
Yeah, we got problems. We're trying to figure out our next move. But beyond that, you know, we need to mix it up a little bit. So we took a trip out to Anawan Rock in Rehoboth, Massachusetts on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought Jake with you, your 11-year-old boy. And we climbed the rock, and we did some spirit box sessions. Now, people who aren't familiar with Anawan Rock, this is where Chief Anawan was captured and killed, I believe. And it's this giant kind of boulder thing. It's actually like a combination of boulders and rocks, but it's a huge, huge thing, just carved out of a glacier, right?
Right. It's a huge rock. It's like the glacier just like, you know, took all kinds of rocks together and just like dumped it there afterwards when it melted.
Right. And yeah, we went up there. We did a spirit box session, of course, because that's our thing. We did try to get some EVPs. I didn't hear anything in our recordings yet as far as that goes. But boy, the spirit box was pretty hot.
Yeah.
As it usually is. I mean, it's becoming our thing, right?
That's right. That's right.
I deceive people. And, yeah, we've got some good stuff. Do you want to tell them a little bit about the history of Rehoboth's place in King Philip's War? Because this was the end of King Philip's War, correct? This is how it ended. They captured and killed Chief Anawan.
Right. The war between the Native Americans and the colonists, which were usually the Puritans, started in 1675 in New England, which was actually, it started right here where I live in Swansea.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. And it was the Wampanoags. They were the Native Americans here. So
yeah, that battle war lasted into the next year. I think it went 14 months, right?
Yes, it was 14 months. Yes. And King Philip, which is was the English name adopted by the Native Americans. He was the leader. And he was shot dead earlier in the month of August of 1676, which he was captured at Anawan Rock. And he was shot dead in the month of August of 1676 before the Native American King Anawan was captured at the landmark of the rock in Rehoboth. But Rehoboth was part of Swansea at that moment, at that time. Right. And believe it or not,
King Philip was Anawan's father, right? Correct? And I think he died, and then his brother became Sachem, I think is the word they use. And
Sachem. That
was Alexander, but there's also a Native American name, and then
means chief, yep.
Yeah. Then Anawan himself came to power, but his brother, Alexander, had been arrested for something silly, and on his way home, they took him to like Plymouth County. He died rather suddenly.
And there was
all sorts of rumors of poison and different things that may have taken him out. And it's just like part of the hostilities that led up to the actual King Philip's War.
Right. In July of 1676, they captured King Philip's. Am I saying that right? It was King Philip. It was Anawan. They captured his wife.
You're right. I'm sorry. I agree. Pardon me, folks.
You did. I was like, where are you going with this baby? I love you. Yeah, I was like, wow, this is like, no, but okay. It's okay. But they did. They captured his wife and his 9-year-old son the month before in July, and they sold him into slavery. And I thought that was terrible.
It was horrible.
But here in Swansea, they went and they burnt down. I'm getting to this now at your town as well. But they went and I just found this out as well. They burnt down all their houses here. The Wampanoags burnt down all the houses in Swansea, and the colonists had to retreat to a garrison.
I don't think it was all the houses, but it was a good amount, right?
Right. Which that happened in Worcester down near you with the Nipmucks. They went, the colonists went, while the men, the women and children and elderly were sleeping, and they shot them all dead. So the Nipmucks retaliated and burnt down all the houses there in Worcester, and the colonists also retreated to garrisons as well.
Right. I know Worcester was abandoned for a while during this war because the Nipmucks had driven them out. Oh, and in Swansea, there were two different attacks. And I think the first attack, they only, well, I don't say only, but they only killed like a handful of people.
Right, right.
And I think they burned like two houses down or something like that.
Maybe it was more than that, but
then
yeah.
They came back and then they, like the next day, and they did more, and then it was retaliation. And they consider that the real start of King Philip's War.
Right. But Annawan, they, after they captured him, they killed him, and they, I hate to say this, but they quartered his body. They put his Yeah, they put his head on a spike and they paraded it through Plymouth. And they did that and left it there for years with his head on a spike.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, you know, there's actually, and I don't have a clip of this for tonight, but there was something about Annawan being captured, and the voices say the one named, meaning Annawan, didn't see it coming underneath. And I wonder if that has any reference to the quartering.
You want to hear something? Down at the bottom of the rock, there was swamp area. And that's where they put their encampment to hide from them, hide from the colonists. So I'm wondering if that's what that means.
Yeah, it's underneath there. Maybe they just quartered him right there. I don't know.
I don't know. That was terrible. It's terrible research that we did. I mean, I've been doing the Nipmucks for months, and when I started researching all about this and all, because I knew about Swansea, it's like right where I live. I feel so bad. You know, I mean, I know we're here and stuff. But
yeah. Well, it was the considered the for the population at the time. And the amount of people that were killed, and I can bring up some statistics on the amounts.
Right.
It was the most deadliest of American wars. In perspective, with the population. I mean, more people died in other wars, but there was a greater population here. So for the people that actually lived here, the colonists and the Native Americans, who lost very hard, there was just thousands and thousands of people killed. So I think it was like one in three or something of the colonists were killed in this war, and it was a higher number for the Native Americans.
I know that what they did was they captured them, and they put them in these, and I'm going to quote this, praying towns, because they were trying to convert them to Christianity. And if they didn't want to be, they were put on Deer Island, and it was just like a barren stretch of land at the time with no vegetation or anything. And they just threw them all out there to die.
That's where when they got too close or something, because some of them willingly became Christians.
Right.
And were in those towns. And I think it was something Chief Annawan's assistant was one of these people.
Yes, exactly.
Converted.
It was his. Yep.
He was given secrets to the colonists, and he mysteriously, maybe not so mysteriously, he might know more about this, died, right? Killed.
Yeah.
They killed him. Yeah.
But he's the one that told them that he was there.
No, that Annawan was rising. It was just assistant. Yep. Yeah. Well, it was more that Annawan was going to plan an attack against them, I think. And, some of this information is a little blurry, so I apologize. But that was just before everything really went to hell here. And it should be noted, I learned in a college history class that dealt with local history that the scalpings, raping of, women and children and scalpings and said, we're on both sides.
Right. So the colonists were also doing it.
And of course, the Native Americans just have the rap for this, but it actually went both ways. Another interesting thing to note was that the colonists also had two tribes of Native Americans with them and they're supporting them. One of which was very big, the Mohegans. Was a very big colony. I think was the biggest colony in southern New England. Maybe I'm mistaken with the Narragansett tribe, but they were big.
Yeah.
And they had the Mohegans and the Mohawks working with the white man versus what do we have? The Wampanoags, the Nipmucks,
Abenaki.
Abenaki.
The Narragansett did also. But yep, see, they're from Rhode Island, and Rhode Island was under Roger Williams at the time, and they wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted to stay neutral.
That's true. That's true. Rhode Island as a colony wanted to stay neutral.
Right.
But the Narragansett tribe was a big tribe, and one of the biggest battles actually was held in a swamp in Narragansett in Rhode Island.
The largest, most deaths was in Rhode Island.
Yeah, so...
What had happened was the colonists went and they thought that they were going to retaliate the Narragansett. So they started a war with the Narragansett tribe. And that's why the Narragansett retaliated. They really didn't want anything to do with it. But the colonists thought that they did. So they ambushed them.
Right. What'd they call it? The New England Confederation. And it was like the Mass Bay colonies.
Yes.
Connecticut colonies. I think there were two other colonies involved. Another one out of Connecticut. I forget. I had some of this written down, but I don't have it in front of me right now. Very, very interesting. And now, one of the points I wanted to make on tonight's show is to do with the Bridgewater Triangle, the famous, infamous Bridgewater Triangle that Rehoboth and Swansea are smack dab, you know, not necessarily in the middle, but certainly a big part of the Bridgewater Triangle. And the Bridgewater Triangle is this sort of, if you were to look on a map, you would see a triangle. And yeah, I think the northernmost point is Bridgewater and extends out, includes like Fall River, Swansea, Rehoboth,
Somerset,
some towns northward, Freetown for the Freetown Forest, are very famous. Right. And people say this area is more haunted than other areas. Now, well, I would probably agree with you that Fall River is somewhat cursed. They just have a lot of problems, and they always have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a small, little...
dreary mill town.
Yeah, dreary mill town with closed mills. Always has been, is now the most dangerous city in New England, apparently.
Yeah.
And I just moved from there not too long ago. But, and it does have a lot of problems. It just does. I mean, things that go on there that just seem to happen nowhere else. The rest of it necessarily doesn't seem cursed any more than other places around New England. I mean, I think New England is just a very haunted area. And, you know, one of the things they attribute to the Bridgewater Triangle is this King Philip's War. You know, and Anawanorok sort of being a hot spot because that's where he was captured and killed, and it was the end of it. But, I mean, it started in Swansea, and it spread through Rhode Island, even though the Rhode Island colonists were neutral. It spread through Connecticut. It spread to Maine and, I think, New Hampshire as well. So
New York, I think, was involved as well, a little bit.
Encompassed a lot more than, you know, this little triangle of land. You know, a handful of towns. It actually was much more widespread. And again, I think the bloodiest battle was actually fought in Rhode Island, down in like the Kingston area is where that swamp is. And that was with the Narragansett Indians. They had retreated to an island in the swamp. it got real nasty there. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say the Bridgewater Triangle doesn't exist, you know, or ruin anyone's day. But I tend to think that, you know, New England as a whole, and really a lot of areas of the country, are pretty darn haunted.
Absolutely. Some of it
may be attributed to this horrible war. you know, but you could say the same thing about Gettysburg, you know, and it's a different war.
Right.
You know, wars bring hauntings, I imagine. I would think the tragedy and chaos and, you know, sheer insanity of it would. But we do have some good clips for you guys tonight. And let me see, what was our first clip? Oh, our first clip is kind of relevant.
Oh, this was great.
Yeah, right? This was
again, we took my 11-year-old son as well. So that's, we're going to have a clip with him as well. But this first clip is crazy, like always, you know.
Right. I think we say, you know, what happened here, what happened in this place. And it comes back and says politics. And then it says something about being safe.
Safe place and safe.
Yeah, we're in a safe place. And then it says safe rather loudly. Safe in this place. That's what it says. But the politics part I thought was pretty funny because...
Yeah, it's really relevant.
Politics did play a big role in this whole war. The problem... A lot of the problems stem from things like the usage of resources, this arrangement of the colonists to be able to buy land from Anawan, and he refused to sell land for a while. There was a lot of stuff there. It was all politics. So he could see he would eventually run out of land and run out of resources as they were starting to lose resources because they were constantly selling the colonists more and more tracts of land. So
you really didn't have a choice at some point.
Right. They were trying to force his hand the whole time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, this is clip one. Joe, if you could play it for us.
What happened in this place?
Please.
Safe?
What happened in this place?
Safe?
You good?
Thank you.
Cool. So that's kind of interesting way to kick off the clips, right? Politics. There it is. It cannot be more clear.
Right.
But, you know, some people may say, you know, it's a spirit box. It's, you're spanning radio stations. Maybe that's just random. Well, okay. Stick around because it gets a little bit more relevant in this next clip. The next clip starts with you. Right,
I'm going to tell why, though, because my parents had an antique shop right next door. And since I was eight years old.
Rock. Yep.
Right next door to Anawan Rock. And I was by myself. I don't have any brothers or sisters. So I used to play at Anawan Rock every day and by myself and stuff. And I heard drums, Native American drums. I heard voices, spirits and things. So this is what I had said in this next clip.
Right. Well, you ask for your father's name, right?
Do you remember my dad's name?
Right. I want the listener to really pay attention to this because it's very clear. It comes right back and says Thomas, which was your dad's name. And we've gotten this before in your house.
That I know. We've gotten this a couple of places.
We have. You know, you wonder if some of the spirits that are in your house or whatever, like follow you around all the time, that kind of thing. There's a couple of times in the through all these recordings where I heard things we've heard before, and it goes back to your house. So there was the Thomas that was the in heaven.
And it was Thomas. It's
and
funny.
There's also Chris Just Wait is actually in one of these recordings.
And also it's funny.
It's funny. Yeah, it's right. And that's your voice, but we'll get to that clip. That was very interesting. But if the listener pays attention, you're gonna hear her ask about her father's name, and it says Thomas, his name was Thomas. And then it goes on to talk about Jacob. And I think this is where you wanted to have Jacob come on, right? Say hi or something.
Jacob is he on clip three? Do you know?
He's on clip two. He's at the end of clip two. Is half of it.
All right, let me introduce him.
The other
him.
Half is Jacob, and then is the two Jakes.
Okay, let me introduce him. Come over here. Not yet. I'll tell you when. Okay. Here he is. This is my son, Jacob. Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Okay.
Hey, Jake.
Say hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
What's up, buddy?
Oops.
We're going to do a clip for him. And after that, well, Jake wants to present something, so.
Is All your right? camera on, Chris?
It is.
Oh, because I haven't seen it. I thought you were hiding tonight. Yeah.
No, we're here. Joe, we're here, right?
I only see your profile picture.
Oh, that one.
Y'all here.
Okay.
Do you remember my dad's name from next door?
Thanks, Joe.
I think it's Thomas.
Yeah, I think it's Thomas. You're correct. Do you know who this little guy is now?
Take
him. Here you go.
What's your name? Who's around us right now?
Jake.
Yes.
We know you're here. That's my little boy now. Jake.
You good?
Thank you.
All right. Did we get all that? I heard a little bit of it on the YouTube. Yeah, if you guys want to, I don't know how you're listening to us, but we are streamed live by United Public Radio on YouTube, and you can chat with us.
107.7 New Orleans.
Correct. So, what'd you think of that, Jake? Like hearing your name actually come back on the radio. It had to be a little strange, right?
He asked you, but you get it in the house sometimes here too, so.
Yeah.
Show them what you got.
I present to you. Here is a piece of the
Anawan rock.
Anawan rock. We asked the spirits if it.
If we could take it.
If it would. If we could take a piece. And they said that it would be okay. I named it.
Sachem.
Sachem. As known as. Chief. A Native American.
That's right.
Yay.
Good job.
Yeah. I love you. Very cool.
So he named his piece of the rock. We did ask if we could take some rocks.
We did. And we did.
Spirits did say we could.
Okay. Well, you know what, Kristen? I have to be honest with you. They actually gave us a mixed bag of replies. I listened back to that a little bit closer tonight. And initially they're like, I was like, can we take a piece of this? You want me to take it palm-sized or something like that? Yeah, and I got, yes, sir, take it. You know, not take it. But later, there were a couple of no's, and we didn't hear it at the time, or we wouldn't have taken any. But one of the voices actually said, leave those alone.
No way.
Yeah, so I think we had a mixed bag of entities or spirits talking to us. But, you know, they were still in support. I don't think there was any harm. We certainly didn't.
It's not, you know.
It's not like shipping off a Plymouth rock or anything.
Yeah, we didn't do anything like that.
Thing, and these are just stones that were sitting on top of it. So it's not really like chipping it out of the rock.
No. We went down at the bottom. We took shards of what was.
I grabbed a couple pieces from the top, and you grabbed some from the bottom. But
all right, buddy. You did a great job.
You know, that's fine.
So you happy? Good.
Yeah.
You said your name.
Yeah.
Three times, that's right.
Maybe four.
Just three.
Okay.
All right. See. Okay. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Chris.
Bye, Chris.
Say bye, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Bye.
Whee!
All right. Very good. So we got another clip. Now, this clip is pretty amazing, I think, all things considered. Because we ask, I forget how we phrased it, but we asked who was captured here, that kind of thing. And it actually comes back and says, Chief Anawan.
Who is Cap?
And I've got the clip in three fashions. I have it on here. It's unedited, and you'll hear it with the noise taken out. Using a noise reduction. And then I slowed it down quite a bit so you can make out the words, because, like, Chief happens really fast, and even Anawan is pretty quick. But it does answer us correctly. And what could be more relevant than that? So, if you'd like to play that, Joe.
Who is captured here? Who is captured here? Who is captured here?
You back.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
This blew my mind.
It blew our minds. We couldn't believe that it was clear and it said that. We weren't expecting that.
We're at Anawan Rock, the place where Chief Anawan was captured and killed. It's a historical landmark in Rehoboth. And they let us know.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, again, I was talking about the idea of these radio ITC units being random, and I know a lot of people feel that way, but when you get things like that back, it's a little hard to explain.
Absolutely. We were, like I said, we were blown away when we heard that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we have that. We've got some more clips coming up. We got three more clips, I think, for tonight. I think we're going to do a part two. What do you think of that, Chris?
I think we really should, because we've gotten other stuff that probably we have underlying things that we haven't heard yet either. After with the noise reduction, we're going to have to do that again.
Yeah, time is always a factor too. Just having the time to do it.
Do all that. Yeah.
Yep.
Very busy.
Go through it. Listen to it and put together the sentences, and, you know, even though it's not that long, it does take time to break down properly.
It's tedious, right.
So this next clip, you know, I'll talk about the clips because I got them in front of me, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. I've got it.
All right. Is I think I titled it Christopher Lucifer. And this is a very, very strange clip. Now, I know you can talk on this, Chris. We get your voice
a lot, surprisingly.
Like, not every time, but, like, quite a bit. We'll hear your voice saying something on radio. And it's clearly, it sounds like your voice. And you got this, you smoke, and you got this kind of scratchy voice. You can hear it.
It's not because I smoke. I have a raspy voice.
And you can hear it. And, you know, the phrasing is also the same. It's maybe part of because you're smoking.
All right. But, yeah.
And I smoke, so, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's not the answer for everything. But that doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant. The clip is pretty interesting because we hear your voice over the top as if you were saying it there. But you were sitting next to me. You did not say Christopher. And you often call me Christopher. Go, Christopher.
Yes, I do.
You will hear that in this while the voice behind it is saying it's funny. And you have to listen to it a couple of times to get it right. So I put it on here in a couple of different fashions. I think I slowed it down and took the noise out. Again, like the last clip, so you could hear it different ways. You'll want to listen to this because you're going to hear her voice go, Christopher, and it's not her. She did not say it. Nope. I recognize that it said Christopher. And then I go, you said Christopher? And then it says something, and it sounded like it said Christopher again. but it actually sounds more like Lucifer. And that's got a little bit of a story to it, right? Because
there's another clip we have that says Beelzebub again. So
right, we've been called all kinds of demon names at the undisclosed location. And if you go back even further than that, and you go on our SoundCloud at Dark Horse Paranormal on SoundCloud.com. Mm-hmm. If you look that up, you'll see a clip that's called Christopher Lucifer or something to that effect.
Lucifer is the light.
Yeah, it sounds like Bring the Light Lucifer.
Right.
Or it says Frank Mike Christopher. And it depends what you have in your mind before you hear it, what you hear.
Right.
You know, and that is pareidolia. Folks, it's audio. Hi, audio.
That's your book.
Audiophenia. Yes, that's my book.
Plug your book.
Since you brought it up, I've got it right here on the table. Of course, it's a wonderful book to keep on your coffee table, and it's called Debunking Common Paranormal Myths: Exploring Psychosomatic Pareidolia, and it's written by myself and Clarissa Vasquez, who is an amazing paranormal investigator and author.
Yes, she is.
Out of Colorado, and she has a whole bunch of books, and I was privileged enough to write this with her. And basically, it's a book of debunking certain things, like audiophenia. And, we cover a lot of topics, headset advice, shadows, reflections, and portals. Oh, my. You know, we have got there's a sense of humor in this book that is pretty great, and there's actually some really good information, and you can find it on Amazon if you go searching for our names or the title, which of course is Debunking Common Paranormal Myths: Exploring Psychosomatic Pareidolia. So yeah, done pat myself on the back.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyways, the long and short of it is apophenia, and that clip where it says Bring Light Lucifer, or I think it's Frank Michael Christopher, it really depends what you think it's going to say. And it, you know, it's kind of that, like that Laurel and, oh God, what was it? I can't even remember.
Oh, I know what you mean. Laurel and, Snotty? No.
Laurel and Hardy. Actually, it's in the book. Let me look. I wrote that chapter. I can't remember.
Yanni
and Laurel. That's right.
Yeah, and I hear Yanni and you hear Laurel. I don't understand how that is possible.
It really depends on the speakers you're using. There are also differences as far as you know, your age group and whether you're male or female, and affects the tuning of your ears as to what you hear. Interestingly enough, it does actually say Laurel. But anyways, so this next clip, you're going to hear a voice say, "Shake it up," which is an odd voice. And then it says, "It's funny." And you'll hear Christopher, just like Kristen said it, in the middle of that. And you'll hear something that sounds like Pale Lucifer after I recognize hearing my voice. So if you could play that first, Joe, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
You say Christopher? You say Christopher?
You bet.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, sir. So that was a little oddity.
I don't know what to make of that. I really don't.
Even to shake it up, like, where is that coming from? I don't know. And who it's funny is something that we've gotten before.
From my house.
From your house. And over the top of it. And you have to listen very carefully because it happens fast. It goes, Christopher, and it sounds like you saying it. And I just thought that blew my mind. I'm like, what?
I've questioned this before, and it's like, what do you think of when you hear your own voice and it's not even you saying it, but it sounds exactly like you. What what is that from? What does it mean? I don't know it, because your daughter said the same thing I did. Are we in a parallel universe? I don't know. It's just really creepy a lot when I hear it.
Yeah, it's a little creepy. It does tend to happen to you more than me. I don't think I've actually had that happen. But we've heard it several times in our recordings with your voice. You know, and I've been called a demon several times in these recordings as well. So the reference to Pale Lucifer, or whatever that is at the end, doesn't come as such a big surprise.
It's odd. It just really is.
It is. It's
so. So, what are you? A pale you? I don't get it. Pale Lucifer.
I don't know the imagery, and that's kind
of
Like, what is that? It's really bizarre. Angel, but I'm really not that pale, so I don't know what they're referring to. I got some sun this summer. I wish it would come back out some more. I miss it.
I miss it too. Believe me, I do not like this.
So. Yeah, yeah. This place, this rock, very interesting, very interesting. And the history and the war and the hauntings that seem to follow after it are very interesting.
And like I said, I played there from like 8 years old, maybe even 7 years old, to about 11 years old. And I have heard, when I've played there all by myself, there's nobody around, Native American drums in the back.
Yeah,
I've heard voices and spirits speak to me. I've heard them call my name.
Right. This is some of your early experiences with it. And oddly enough, later in life, when I was a teenager in my late teens, I would be playing Two Doors Down.
That's right.
At the Bowler residence in a garage in an original a band called Cowhead.
And what's funny about
to, those guys.
Sorry.
The Cowhead guys.
What's funny about that is my parents, it was an antique shop. Bob Bowler, the Bowlers had the antique shop. A couple of, you know, not doors down, but a few ways down. And my parents had the antique shop right next to Anawan Rock. And my mom and I would go and watch the Bowlers shop for a little while. We went to their house all the time. I mean, it's really weird, the things that Chris and I, we, you know,
our
sort of
cross sort of
right
lots it's, of different ways, which is sort of mysterious.
Very.
And that was one of them, the Bowlers and your parents have an antique shop, and my mom was an antique dealer.
That's right.
So that was very unusual, and it had nothing to do with me playing in the Bowlers garage. You know, one of the guys in the band was dating the Patty Bowler, the daughter.
Right.
So that's why we ended up there. And I spent a heck of a lot of time over there practicing and partying and such. So very interesting. Weird. I know. So odd. So odd. But we've got some more clips to get through. This one is really funny, I think. I really like this clip, and I really maybe should have made it the last one, but I find this one hilarious. I just called it ghosts, and I know you're laughing your butt off. So on the radio, I'm going to say butt.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Butt off when you heard it. And you're actually here on the spirit box. The neighbors think I'm a ghost. Listen carefully. It clearly states this.
I know.
I've got it in unedited, and I've got it also with the noise reduction. The neighbors think I'm a ghost. And then I say, who lives here? And it immediately replies in a different voice, ghosts.
All right.
Like you fool. You know? Of course.
What did I just say? You know?
right. So I think this is pretty good. If you could play that clip first, Joe, that'd be great. I think it's clip 5.
Who lives here? Who lives here?
Who lives here? Who lives here?
You're back.
Thank you, sir.
Right on. Right on. So that's pretty funny. Humorous there. Again, our recording is chock full of stuff. So we have more to go through, and I think we'll do a second episode next week on Anawan Rock. And
I think that would be good.
Yeah.
Because they don't teach it in school, and being the bloodiest war, here on
US capita.
So right on U.S. soil, they really should teach this in schools.
Well, it doesn't do well for Thanksgiving, and you know.
Don't speak about this. We did this last night and went, oh my god.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it on other shows, and certainly in talking to you, that as a country, we seem to do bad things to certain minorities, and then we go, oh, that's okay, guys. Here's a holiday.
Right.
And the king of all of them is Thanksgiving. Could not be any worse to those people.
I know.
You know, you and I grew up in a time where we looked at that like they were just everybody's getting along and having a good time. And
yeah,
it's nothing like that.
If anybody really researched it and looked into it, they would understand what Thanksgiving really is. Or really was, but it's not just a family gathering. It's
give thanks you aren't Native American.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel so bad.
I mean, no offense to Native Americans when I say that.
No, because we are like doing this and doing our research. Chris and I are literally heartbroken over this stuff, stuff that we found out, things that we found out. And it's just, it really hurts our hearts,
Yeah, it was pretty horrible. So, I think we had about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, we do. One more clip, and then we can do the outro.
And it's a fairly long clip. This is the longest clip of the night. This clip is starts off with saying your name, Kristen. Mm-hmm. And I had just given you the spirit box.
Right, to hold.
And I think we brought the shack hat.
Yes, we did.
Yes, the old school. We went old school. And I gave you the shack hack, and it says your name, and I said something like, I was about to ask who was holding it. And it replies to me, and I hope I can say this on the air, but it says, shut up, you dick. And I'm like, what? And it actually is the second time in the recording that one of the voices referred to me as a dick, which I
gotta
say. And it's then we ask, how do you know our names? And what do we hear?
Again,
Abby. We hear from Abby.
Yep.
And Abby goes back to our undisclosed location. We think it could be the same Abby. Could be another Abby, but
right.
Abby
but
is
it's
clearly
just weird.
It's very strange. Like, is she following us around now? And she's telling them what our names are. Was she telling them all along? And we took her to the other place. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it works. Then we also hear something we heard on a recording from your house where it goes in heaven. And you ask who's in heaven, and it does eventually reply, Thomas, who's your
my
dad. And it's exactly what happened in your house.
Yep.
In Swansea last year. So pretty interesting. Very cool clip. I call it miscellaneous. It's got a lot of stuff in it. So listen close, guys. I hope you enjoy these. Let us know, feel
free. Yeah, please.
Jump on our, page on Facebook. We're Bigfoot and a Bunny. We're Dark Horse Paranormal as well. Mm-hmm. That does podcasts. We're on here, obviously, every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
We're on Instagram and Twitter.
Correct. And our Twitter is like getting hot.
Yeah, it is.
Getting hot. Come on up. We're breaking the internets.
Yes, we are. Wreck-It Ralph.
Kind of funny. But yeah, we're definitely on those outlets. And feel free to message us any questions or anything you want to tell us, whatever. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear
it's
from you.
Bigfootandthebunny@gmail.com. Please let us know what you think.
Sure. or email us on any of those other outlets.
Ask us questions.
This is our last clip.
Yep, and then we're going to outro.
Yeah, I was just about to ask who's holding it.
How do you know our names?
Excuse me.
Heaven.
Who's in heaven? Yeah, I was just about to ask who's holding it.
How do you know our names?
Excuse me.
Heaven.
Who's in heaven?
Got back.
Excellent, excellent.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Still that darn cold.
On cue, I just cough. Yeah. Yeah, fantastic, right?
That's all right, baby.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, yeah, that was our last clip of the night. We are very intrigued with this Anawan rock. And certainly, since we've gotten back some information, like, you know, Chief Anawan, you know, actually back.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll make another trip, and the actual history behind the war is extremely interesting. So I think we'll go into more detail next week. This was a little bit of a hurried week for me. I should have done more work last night, basically, instead of waiting till the end, right? Chasing my tail, Kristen?
All the time, though, baby. You're so busy.
I know. But, yeah, these clips are good, and we'll have some more for you next week. Again, look for us out on the interwebs.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
Instagram, Facebook.
I'd like to thank Joe Montalvo for his engineering and support.
Thank you, Joe.
Be sure to look for
our outro. Says the same thing. So if you guys want to message us and tell us what you think or ask us questions, please do. It's bigfootandthebunny@gmail.com.
Thank you. Catch you later.
Bye. Sure.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to another.